Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm delighted to say I've been joined by Martin Adkins, Paul and Rob Sullivan, and Ollie Cook from the SE7 podcast. It is only a week away. So the Addicts, they're back in the Championship. I'm not going to say where they belong because I remember Charlton being in a Premiership for a very long time, and I'm going to say that's where you belong. You belong in the top flight. I'm going to say that to get us off to a good start before you may say something back towards me.
What a great start.
You've got to make friends very early. Got to make friends early doors. That's what I'm here to do before I really maybe tear Charlton apart, which I'm sure I'll never do. But we've got a packed show tonight. We've got club captain, and I'm going to say club legend, Chris Solly on the line. And we're even going to be talking to Steve Brown as well. So very exciting for the next hour. But how are we all?
Yeah, very good. And a warm welcome to you, Charlie. It's, that was a very good start to endear yourself.
It's all going
to
go down here from you.
And let me take the opportunity, because basically, knowing that you're an Arsenal supporter, where I live, Plumstead, that sort of section of houses, there's a connection, a direct connection to Arsenal. Because basically, all those houses were built for the factory workers of Woolwich Arsenal. And of course, as you all know, you know, a team was formed from the factory, and so I think of my house now with a direct connection with your football club.
Well, there we go. The show, Arsenal, Woolwich, Arsenal, Charlton, exactly. We're all connected. We can all be friends.
Indeed.
This is a safe, safe start. But we are just a week away from the Championship. And before the real football starts, let's say, it has been pre-season. It's been a bit of a mixed bag so far, but it's getting to look a little bit better. How, in your mind, is it going so far? And also, how much does pre-season really matter?
I mean, you can only read so much into pre-season. Honestly, if you don't win a game, if you do win a game, it doesn't matter too much more on fitness and performance. But having said that, looking back at the Gillingham game, based on performance, it was a bit ropey.
Yeah, I'm personally one for just believing they're good to get the fitness up and the players playing together and understanding what it's like to sort of bond and gel as a new team. I really don't read too much into results personally, but I do understand. I've caught a bit of the reaction on social media this week based on the defeats. Not been great, but that team, you know, it's a completely new team from the one that took us up in the playoff final against Sunderland, so it will take some time.
Yeah, and that's a little bit worrying sometimes, isn't it? That we've got a completely new team, and they have to all gel together and have to learn each other, like how to play with each other again. So, I mean, it could be a bit of a concern because, you know, there might be a little bit of a disconnect between them. And we kind of saw that at some of the pre-seasons.
Well, you have got a new team, 7 new additions so far, but we've seen it with Fulham come up to the Premiership last year and they spent loads of money. Then they went back down and that was not really the season they want. I almost believe that if a team gets you promoted, that's the team you should be sticking with. Yeah, you do need reinforcements. You're playing at a league above now. But how vital is it you stick with the players that got you up in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's important. But, you know, we are going up. We are stepping up a level. So you've got to bring in a little bit of extra quality, you know, and I think obviously Johnny Williams played with us last season, so that's one bit of extra quality. But we need midfielders now. We've seen that. Obviously, Lyle Taylor's still there, so he's given the players a chance. Obviously, the ones that Joe Rebo left us, so we've lost him. We lost Patrick Bauer. That's the nature of League One, Championship football now. You know, you know, the times of having players like Chris Solly being there for 10 years, you know, it's few and far between now, isn't it? Very rare.
Yeah, it is the nature of the beast, because obviously we won that final on the Sunday and there was Lee Bowyer on the Monday morning calling in the likes of Ben Reeves, Mark Marshall, Parker, and saying, you know, unfortunately, we're going to be letting you go. So we've got to move on and you've got to have a certain calibre of players coming in. With regard to these pre-season friendlies, I've been to all of them. I've loved every minute of it.
The 3-1 to Gillingham, I'm sure, was a highlight going down to them.
Well, and there I was, sitting in that very open Brian Moore stand. And that will be the death of me, because I've been there when it's been torrential rain, when it's been windy. And, of course, this time I went along there last Saturday and forgot to bring a hat. So obviously a man of a certain age. I've got a little bit of a balding patch. And, of course, I got done, didn't I? You know, I said to my wife, just check that out. And there it was.
I think it'd be a good way to go out, though. Just your last
take your last breath
yeah, in the Brian Moore stand.
Yeah.
But yes, and of course the curse for Lewis Page occurred again. Unfortunately, that poor fellow, he just gets so many injuries. And I got a little tweet from one of our fans in Thailand, John Howard, and he commented on it. And John, I just said I'd give him a little shout out because obviously this is the Charlton Fan Show. John has done a lot for Charlton in the past, going back in the day, Valley Party candidate for when we got back into the Valley. And also he was a voluntary groundsman. I don't know if you remember, Morris Banham, yes. One of our first groundsmen.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
And I've got memories of Morris chasing me off the pitch because I went as a kid, you know, used to run on the pitch after every game, not just the last game. Used to run on every game, and Morris used to give me hell. Yeah. So,
well, funny enough, I got told off for nearly stepping on the pitch yesterday. So, that's quite from Nathan. So, that was,
yeah.
They don't change the groundsman.
But there was a big improvement, Charlie, on Tuesday night, certainly in the first half, down in Essex against Colchester. Johnny Williams was on fire, playing really well. It's a bit of a mixed bag. Obviously, striking wise, we haven't really hit the heights. Little bit concerned there because as time moves on, we still haven't got an established striker in to accompany Lyle Taylor up front. And Lyle Taylor, you know, surprisingly hasn't scored, but I don't suppose he's bothered about that. And we got this guy Wydoo who has scored 4 in 4. So
from left back.
Well, he's right. He's on the right flank, but
my bad.
Yeah, but as I said last week on the show, we just produce them off the conveyor belt all the time. We've always got people to replace the likes of Aribo, Gomez, etc. They're all coming, you know, through.
Well, you've touched on Aribo there. I do want to bring him up. I'm sure you've covered him quite a lot and heavily over this summer. But you say you've got players to replace. It is key, the purchases you're going to make. Like you said, you have stepped up this year. That's why I do think a lot of teams and fans, I've heard this week saying, pre-season doesn't matter. But when you have got promotion, it does matter. We're going into a new league. We need to know what system we're going to play and with these new players, don't we, Ollie?
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about, well, from judging from pre-season, we're probably going to start with back five and do sort of wing backs. And then we've got to change the way we do things and got to change the way we play usually because we could be a lot more attacking in League One, but we've got a step up, bigger calibre of opposition. So we've got to think about who's going to fit in, not just any name will do. You've got to be the right sort of player.
Yeah, I think you make a good point, Ollie, the back five, because we saw he flirted with that in the last season in the playoff semi up at Doncaster and reverting back to that in the playoff, well, started in the playoff final with a 5-3-2. But, I mean, we were used to the 4-4-2 diamond, but we don't have many midfielders anymore, do we? I think that's the area we've been massively kind of decimated in after losing Billick and Cullen and I'm hoping the loan replacements are going to be in that area because that's the area I think we need strengthening the most. So you pointing out that the back five might be the way forward based on the fact we've got 4 centre-backs, if you count Dick Steele, maybe. Prattley even. So, yeah, I could see potentially.
There, yeah. Yeah, and what we're also thinking about, because obviously we're looking at the midfield, trying to strengthen there. Callum Harriott's been training with us and been playing some friendlies. It's worth thinking that he could probably fit in sort of like an attacking mid sort of role because in his last season with us, he was playing as a striker. So he's a bit of utility, he can go anywhere.
Yeah, because it was interesting on Tuesday because they played with a front three, especially in that first half. So it was Callum, Taylor and Williams.
Right.
So that was good to see that he's mixing it up. But the thing is with Lee Bowyer, he mixes it up every 5-10 minutes. So you think you've sussed it out, what the formation is, but it just changes so quickly. They're prepared. And I noticed that, Harriet was swapping sides and, you know, with Williams.
Yeah.
So it's very fluid. It's very difficult to keep up.
That's great about Lee Bowyer because that's what he did at the end of last season, is changing things up. Like, if you just look at the pitch and you see Taylor's playing on the wing at one point, and then next thing you know, there's, you know, Billick's charging forwards and he's a centre attacking mid. It was like impossible to mark anyone because you don't know what position anyone's playing at any one point.
And if he's confusing us, he's definitely confusing the opposition.
Well, you mentioned Lee Bowyer there. You mentioned how quick he is to change things up. It was very quick when one minute he wasn't staying, then the next day he was staying. How important is he going to be then to Charlton's survival in the Championship?
Well, I've said all along on every show. I mean, it was imperative for him to stay, because like Steve Gallen, when we had Steve Gallen on the show last year, he said he was so important in us getting the likes of Josh Cullen, Christian Billick, because they all know who Lee Bowyer is. He's an ex Premier League player, international player, quality midfielder, and every single player that said they signed for him, they signed because of Lee Bowyer, the way he spoke to him, what he talked about, his plans for the future, and it was imperative. So it was such a good thing to get him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'd be in the position we were today without him. In terms of when Robbo left, I think anyone else that would have come in, I dread to think, because Bowyer, you know, the connection with the club and his attitude and his mentality, everything about him, winner, wants to win every time he steps foot onto the pitch, you know, as a player, and he was combative, and that just shines through in the mentality of the squad and what he got them believing last season. It's going to be tougher this season, I think, given the kind of budget we got to play with in terms of bringing players in. And there are going to be some difficult results, I think. And I think that, you know, someone like him there to just keep it going, his self-belief, his positivity is absolutely amazing.
You did have a slight concern, didn't you, Robert, that if we did have a few dodgy results, you were a bit concerned that fans, with their fickleness, might sort of turn against him?
Yeah, I think that is just a very, very minor thing. I think we'll be fine. But yeah, you just hope that if there is the old bad result, we don't, you know, jump on his back and what's it, you know, given the situation.
Well, we're talking about how key it is that Lee Bowyer's there and how key his management will be in the Championship season and what players he can attract. And who better to hear from than Chris Solly, club captain, next.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, Martin Adkins, Paul and Rob Sullivan and Ollie Cook from the SE7 podcast. And I'm delighted to say, we said it earlier, not only do we have club captain on the line, club legend Chris Solly. How are you this evening, sir?
Hello, fellows. Yeah, I'm very good, thank you.
Chris, it's really good to have you with us. We're talking a little bit about your game on the weekend against Aston Villa. Your testimonial, you've been at the club since you was 11 years old. That is an incredible achievement. Has the time just flown by?
Yeah, 17 years. Certainly don't feel like that. I've said a few times that even since making my debut as an 18-year-old, if you had told me I'd still be here 10 years later, I'd have been amazed. So, yeah, it's been an incredible journey, but I've loved every step of it.
Yeah, hi Chris. You must be delighted how the stars have aligned, as your testimony happens to be the first match back at the Valley after our playoff final triumph, and obviously having Aston Villa lined up to give you top class opposition. And then on top of that, you got the return of Ezri Konsa and Jed Steer, and also a nice little twist that both clubs have triumphed in their respective playoff finals. So it's all set up rather nicely, isn't it?
Yeah, it couldn't have worked out any better, to be honest. Obviously, we haven't been back to the Valley since that memorable night in the semi-finals against Donny. Obviously, last game being at Wembley, promotion. The club's on a massive high at the minute. And then being able to get Premier League opposition in Aston Villa, who I'm sure will bring a good crowd with them as well. It seems everything's just falling into place nicely. But at the beginning of May, still a struggle trying to find opposition because we certainly wanted Premier League team. They're all tied up all around the world, etc. So it was not panic stations, but a little bit of a worry as to who we was going to get. But yeah, like we said, obviously us getting promotion playoffs and then Aston Villa doing the same thing, it worked out perfectly for us to play each other.
Yeah, hi Chris, it's Ollie. 10 years at a club is quite rare for a player nowadays. We really appreciate you staying and all the effort you've put in the whole time. But was there any time that it looked close to you leaving the club, or was there any time that, you know, someone came in for you and you thought maybe you'd leave at this point?
There's probably only really been two occasions where there were maybe slight chances of moving, but I've never been one to really pay too much attention to the rumours and that side of things. I've always been really happy at the club. I've said this all along, as I've always been playing as well, which is obviously a big factor. It's a great club to be at, and like I said, yeah, I've always been happy and I've enjoyed my football at the club.
Yeah, and Chris, just got a couple of questions from some of our listeners for you tonight. Yeah. A fellow on Twitter, 100% Charlton, wants to know your favourite memory and your favourite game you've played in.
difficult one to go through 10 years. favourite game I've played in? It's strange because two games that stick out in my mind were both 0-0 draws. But it was a game where... there was both games where I seemed to have so much to do in the game. And it was almost like a 1v1 battle with my winger for it felt like about 75 minutes of the 90 minutes was just me v him. And it was a battle. They're the sort of games I've really enjoyed. And stepping back up to the Championship, they're the sort of games I look forward to the most. Coming up against the best wingers in the league and testing yourself and finding out how good you really are. So that side of it is what I've really enjoyed. And what was the other part again? Sorry.
Favorite. Oh, and it was your favourite favourite memory and then favourite game you'd played in. So
Favourite game was one of them, I'd say. But favourite memory, it's hard to put it down to one thing. But obviously last year stands out massively as a whole year, and obviously the year with the record points. Two totally different ways of going up, of course, and two totally different seasons, really, because no one really fancied us at all last year. We kind of went under the radar for quite a lot of months, didn't we, at the start of the season? Yeah. Whereas when we went up before, we started off very strong and people were already looking at us with only a few weeks into the season as a strong candidate for promotion. So totally different ways, but both just as memorable. And when I do finally pack up playing and look back on my career, I think them two seasons I'll look back on with great fondness.
We had another question from Peter from Brockley. He wants to know who's been your most difficult opponent.
In the same game, really, obviously against Palace, them seasons in the Championship, they had Bellassi and Zaha on either side, and both of them very tricky, pacey, direct, but they're, like I said earlier, they're the sort of games are looked forward to the most, and they're the games I wanted to be involved in, week out. And we've got that opportunity again next season back in the Championship to test ourselves.
And Chris, let me get closer to the mic. Vital Charlton are asking of those three goals that you scored against Leyton Orient, Blackpool, and Luton Town. What was the favourite out of the three?
The Luton one obviously meant the most out of the three because it got us a draw in the 96th minute, wherever it was. But obviously the Blackpool one is the one that will always stand out for me because I don't think I'll ever hit another one like that again. It just set up so nice and I didn't have a second to think, just hit it and it's gone straight in the top corner. So probably the Blackpool one for me is my favourite out of the three. Be nice to add a couple more to that before I stop playing, because 300 don't sound too great, does it?
Well, I suppose the dream is to score at the Valley in the covered end.
I've always thought of it, and every time we play there I think, is today going to be the day? And I've had a couple of chances really where I should have done better, but yeah, if not, then I'll have to claim that penalty last season, add that to me tally.
Indeed.
I don't know about you, Chris. I know you said the Blackpool goal was your favourite, but you should have seen the away stand in Luton when you got that equaliser. I mean, that was absolute carnage, mate. That was probably in terms of the three, I think if I had to pick one, that was superb.
Yeah, my mum and dad were in the away end for that game. So they told me all about it after.
And by the way, Chris, we can actually kind of blame you because Rob here, when you scored that goal, the fella in front of him, Rob went so mad that he broke his glasses. So we're going to blame you for that one.
Well, something always seems to happen because, as it happens, when I was at the game at Blackpool away, I had 9 or 10 of my mates come up for the weekend.
Yeah.
And when I scored that goal, they were celebrating so mad. My brother-in-law fell down a few rows and cut his knee open.
Oh, so. Well, this is what you're doing to people, Chris. When you score a goal,
perhaps it's good you only get one every 100 games, Chris. You know?
So moving on. I mean, the thing is, Chris, when I sort of look at your demeanour, you're such a calm sort of guy. And obviously, I briefly met you at the Q&A and you're a very humble chap as well. But I mean, what was going through your mind? I was thinking in the semi-final of the playoff, when we went behind in extra time, and also when you did that long walk from the centre circle to take that first penalty. I mean, you seem calm, but what's going on inside?
Honestly, when Doncaster scored in extra time, I thought we was done.
Yeah.
I didn't think we was going to come back from that, if I'm being totally honest. But then, unfortunately, Pratt has scored the goal and we've managed to take it to penalties. We'd practiced penalties for a few days leading up to the game in training. I know you can't replicate game scenario, but we did as much as we could in training. And I'd scored a few in training and felt comfortable. Mm. And I was actually at a function a few nights before, and fans were asking me whether or not I would take a penalty. And I said, look, I've always had the way of thinking that I would rather take one and miss than not take one and us lose and regret not taking one for the rest of my career.
Really?
Yeah. I felt like I could, if I was to miss myself, I could accept it almost and like feel that, well, at least I had a go. Whereas if I'd sat there and we'd gone out and I hadn't taken one, I would always think, why didn't I just take one?
Yeah.
So I had that mindset kind of walking up, and I was confident that I was going to score. And I was actually a lot calmer than I ever imagined I would be. I watched it back after and I see on the big screen, I actually felt comfortable and I looked it, to be fair.
You did.
But even though it hits the back of the net, it's still a massive relief. Just to know, especially me being first, I was thinking there's no way it gets back round to the 12, surely. So that's me done now. So yeah. I can kind of, well, not enjoy it, but sit back and hope the boys do the job, and we managed to do that.
Yeah,
and instrumental to our season last year was obviously the manager, Lee Bowyer. How does he compare to the other managers you've worked under?
He's different. He has his own methods, but he's very easy to play under in the way that he's very straightforward, very honest, very open with the boys. Obviously, he's been there, done it, had an unbelievable career, knows what worked with players, knows what doesn't, and the way it is, he picks his strongest 11. If you play well, you'll stay in the team. If you don't play so well, you won't be in the team. It's very simple under him. He has no favourites, nothing like that. So it's easy playing under him, to be honest.
All right, going on to your testimonial now on Saturday, Chris. Are you looking forward to it? Obviously, Villa have sold out their end. So hopefully we'll try and drum up some ticket sales for you as well. Are you looking forward to it, though?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. I've got so many family members and family and friends coming along. It's just going to be one of them days that I'll remember for the rest of my life. My little boy will come out as mascot for the first time, so I'm looking forward to bringing him out. Just a whole day, really, as a whole, is just going to be one of them occasions where my family can be proud, I'll be proud, and just one of them days that I'll never forget, and hopefully it'll be nice to get a good result as well leading into the first game of the season next week.
And obviously you're going to hear your song ring out around the valley as well. Even though you told us last time, you're definitely taller than 5'3".
Yeah, well, I'm not. Obviously John Terry's going to be there
as well. Yeah. Maybe we could ask the Charlton fans, say he's bigger than 5'3" and better than John Terry. How about that?
Yeah, well, I'm easy. It doesn't bother me. Every time I hear my name being sung, it gives me goosebumps anyway.
Brilliant.
So yeah.
Chris, just quickly then, this summer you managed that jubilation of getting back to the Championship. Then we had the moment of, was Lee Bowyer going to sign a new contract? Did you ever think for one minute that he might not come back next year?
Personally, no. I was certain he was going to be here. The success we had under him last season, it would have been crazy to not renew his contract. So it was never really any stage that I thought he was going to go until obviously I see the post on the website, which I'd seen on social media, and I just thought, wow, like, what is actually going on? But then luckily it all got resolved in the next few hours, didn't it? And it was announced, what was it, 12 hours, 24 hours later, that he had signed a new deal. So all the lads were obviously very pleased he was staying, and I'm sure obviously the fans were happy. It was a no-brainer for everyone involved with the club that he was to stay.
Yeah, and Chris, just on that note, obviously you've been with us for such a long time, and I'm always curious when we've got players on that have, you know, had a long time at the club. If you can, I know it's a difficult question, can you give us the best back four you've played alongside? Including yourself, of course.
So I've got two centre-half and left back. I'll go Royce Wiggins. Good friend of mine as well, but probably the best left back I've played with. If it wasn't due to injuries, I'm sure he would have gone on and played at the very top. He's obviously retired now, but yeah.
he was an unbelievable player. Such a good engine, loads of assists, great delivery. I loved playing with him, to be fair. Centre half, so I'd have to go Matty Taylor. Probably my side, yeah. I loved playing with him because he was a no-nonsense old-school defender and I knew what I was going to get from him every week, and he didn't try anything fancy on the ball, so I knew as soon as he got it, he was going to give it to me within one, two touches, and then it almost allowed me more time on the ball to pick my passes. So I always appreciated playing next to him, and the age I was at, 20, 21, 22, he was brilliant to play alongside because he knew the game inside out and he was a brilliant leader as well. And then alongside him, I'll probably go Joe Gomez. Such a good athlete, but so calm and composed on the ball. No doubt, as soon as he broke through, that he was going to go all the way to the top. And if it wasn't for injury as well, I'm sure he'd have had 20, 30 caps for England already. But I'm sure he'll be a regular for England throughout his career.
And Chris, we've got a question in from Twitter from A Shimpad, is his name. Do you have any career, plans for the end of your career as a player? Do you plan to get FA coaching badges and continue at Charlton as a coach?
I've done my B licence already, and I'll be looking to go on to my A licence probably next summer. I do a bit of coaching now with young kids, like 10, 11, 12 year olds, and I really enjoy that. But to be honest, I'm not totally sure what I'll do when I stop playing, but I have no doubt I'll stay in the game in some capacity. What I've learnt, I think, over the past 12, 13 years in a coming through full-time at Charlton, I think I've learnt so much on all aspects of the game, and so many different sides of the game interest me, so I'm not quite sure what capacity I'll stay in, but I'd love to stay at Charlton in some role. But yeah, we'll see what the future holds when I stop playing.
Chris, just one final question before you go. I understand all profits from the game will be added to a testimonial fund, which will result in a charitable donation to Prostate Cancer UK at the end of your testimonial year. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So over the past few events we've done, the golf day, the dinner, the Q&A evening, different donations were made to prostate cancer. And on the golf day, we raised money for Demelza House as well. I played in Keith Peacock's golf day the past 10 years maybe, and there was always a link to Demelza House, so I thought it was good that we kept that running as Keith isn't doing the day and I had kind of taken the date off him. So we'd done a link with Demelza House for that day and we raised quite a bit of money for them. So yeah, from the game Saturday, once everything's totaled up, then we'll be making donations to prostate cancer and hopefully Demelza House again too.
Well, that's a brilliant gesture and a brilliant cause, Chris. We wish you nothing but the best for the game with Villa this weekend. Thank you for giving us a little bit of time. I know the boys in the studio were delighted to have you on.
Thank you, Chris Solly there.
Charlton captain, from one legend to another legend. Because if that wasn't enough on the show tonight, next we're going to be talking to Steve Brann, former Charlton defender.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport. You're with me, Charlie Hawkins, Martin Adkins, Paul and Rob Sullivan and Ollie Cook. And if that wasn't enough, I keep saying it, we just spoke to one legend there. It is now time for Charlton's Club Legend of the Week.
See what your club legend was wearing at classicfootballshirts.co.uk. The place for football shirts.
Please, if you do the honour, who is... I've already gave it away, but let's tease it again. Who is the Club Legend of the Week?
Well, it's the one and only Steve Brown. 242 appearances and 9 goals in his Charlton career. And... to my mind, he's more than a legend because he was a member of 2 promotions to the Premiership and obviously a member of the team when we were taking part in the Premiership. So he will go down in the history of Charlton as a big, big player for us.
Well, he certainly will. And I can do you a great honour because we've now got him on the line. Steve,
he's not,
how
is
are
he?
You?
He is.
I'm very well. Evening, chaps.
Evening, Steve. Steve, great to have you on. I just want to ask you about your middle name first.
I wasn't expecting that start.
I'm going to give you a little curveball.
Yeah, no football questions tonight, Steve. Hope you've prepped.
So, yeah, Steve Byron Brown.
Yes.
So was that name given to you after the great Lord Byron, the great poet, or is there some other story?
I'm going to go with that. Yeah, I'm going to go with after the poet. I don't actually know why I was given that middle name. My brother's is Clark. 2 unusual middle names have been given. And Yeah, you'd have to phone my parents for that one, I'm afraid. I'm not sure what was going on.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's different, I guess, but it's not something I go around telling everybody.
Sorry for bringing it up.
Yes, that's all right.
Yeah. Steve,
I want to know who got the stats. You've chalked off a few of my goals there as well.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. From the good old Wikipedia, I'm afraid.
That gets everything right. That does, yeah.
Well, what it does tell people, Steve, and you know, younger fans may not remember, obviously you had a solid career at the back and a few goals as well, but you also had a couple of stints in between the sticks, didn't you? For me, I remember the Villa game, personally, when we stay of execution when Danny Mills blasted in that last-minute winner for us to win 4-3. But, yeah, talk us about the times you had to do your bit in between the goalposts.
Yeah, I think it all started when I was in the youth side under Colin Clark. You know, obviously back then, we're talking about 88, 89, 90, and the club had no money. So when I was in the youth setup, we had one keeper, Lee Harrison, and we were training one day. We had a cup game against Queen's Park Rangers the next day, and Lee turned over his ankle, like, quite badly, so some ligament damage, and just they had absolutely no time to get another keeper in. So in the afternoon, Colin Clark says, right, I want everyone to go in and, you know, show me what they can do as a keeper. So in I go and start throwing myself about, and the rest, you know, all fell into place. I went in goal against Queen's Park Rangers on the Saturday, did relatively well. We lost the game, unfortunately, and another Charlton, ex-Charlton player Bradley Allen scored the winner, actually. But, yeah, I went in, and then I played in goal in a reserve fixture away at Norwich from the start to the finish. And that's how, you know, and any time back then in training when we only had one keeper available, I was always the player that was put in goal for the session so that we could actually have, you know, a small-sided game. Otherwise, you know, you can't have a small-sided game with one goalkeeper. So that's how it all sort of came about. It was lack of funds, really, and lack of player availability that led to me to go in goal. And it you know, went on from there.
And Steve, one really vivid memory I have of you playing was that Leicester game, where you got sent off while being stretchered off the pitch. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What was it like from your point of view?
Yeah, I mean, I've told this a few times that, you know, actually, you know, I read the flick on particularly well. I get myself positioned well in terms of the covering position. The flick on comes, and just as I go to make my, you know, I was going to chest it down and clear it, my ankle just completely gives way, turns over, ball's going past me on the left-hand side, and I can see Sturridge is running through, and I throw my left arm up, basically catch it. You know, it's a dead cert sending off. I can't grumble at all. And I thought, right, OK, let's try and make a meal of the injury, you know, and see if there's any sympathy there. And quite rightly, there wasn't. The referee made the correct decision, but, you know, the sad fact of reality was I get stretchered off. I get sent off while I'm on a stretcher. You know, as you well know, all the pamphlets came down. I think they were promoting the club shop on the day. the game gets delayed. I get into the physio's room. I get the treatment. I know there's not a lot wrong with the ankle. I've just turned it over. It's just sore, but there's nothing really wrong with it. You can tell. And, you know, the physio at the time sticks all sorts on it, a moon boot, I leave on crutches, and there's a big meal made of it. And actually, there was very little wrong with my ankle. And, you know, the end of the story is I go out in the evening with John Hayes, you know, he's a long-term Charlton supporter, for a meal, and there was Charlton supporters dotted around the restaurant, and I got a standing ovation, or people stood up and clapped me in as I come in, and I'm in on crutches, I've got this boot on, and John knows full well there's nothing wrong with me. So I have to go through the whole rigmarole of that. And actually, you know, I think I trained on the Monday, if I'm honest. I think I was absolutely fine. But I did get in on the Monday, or maybe a little bit later, a bit vague on the memories, but maybe that week at some point I went to my pigeonhole. There was a letter that Peter Varney had written, and it was, you know, done very well, where he'd said that the club were going to fine me for loss of revenue in the club shop. And obviously that went down very poorly with me, and you know, drove over to the Valley, and he just started, you know, as I walked in, he just started laughing, and you just look at him and go, yeah, well done, Pete. Yeah, so that was the whole story. But yeah, no, yeah, just one of those moments where you know, the pamphlets made the story, didn't they? And then it gets embellished as the years go on. But yeah, it was everyone brings that moment up. You know, it's one of the memories everybody likes me to talk about.
That's Dave Artis Martin. You was involved in probably one of our greatest ever games at Wembley in the 4-4 draw. One of my massive memories of that game was your absolute crunching tackle. I can't remember who it was on, led to the ball to Steve Jones. Do you think nowadays that would be a red card, that tackle?
Yeah, it's been said. Yeah, I don't know if it's a red card. It would absolutely, without any shadow of a doubt, be deemed as a foul now. I watch it and I see it over and over. And I've still not watched that Wembley final in its entirety. I watch highlights from time to time. I've seen that tackle again. It's, you know, at one point when you pause it, there's no divine right for me to win that challenge. I think I want to say it's Johnson, but I wouldn't put a pound on it. And at one point when you pause the shot, I'm not even in it when he's controlling the ball, and he miscontrols it. He goes too far away, and I make my lunge and win the ball. But I think it would probably be a foul because I've got, you know, you just can't challenge like that these days. You can't go in with that front foot, you know, with the studs showing, which it was. You know, my studs were showing to make the block, and it would undoubtedly be a foul. But red card, if I received a red card for that, I probably would have had to give up the game, if I'm honest.
No, and it turned out to be
a good
assist as well out to Jones to put the ball in for Mendonca as well. But just another question from one of our listeners, Steve. Similar to the question we asked Chris before you came on, who was the toughest opponent you think you ever came up against?
Do you mean physically, or do you mean as in the best I've come against?
Well, either or, really. Give us both if you can.
I mean, the toughest I ever come across, funny enough, was very early in my career. I played in a reserve game, and I forget who it was against, but I played against Mick Harford, and that was just brutal. You know, that was just aches and pains I'd never had again. Just literally physically beat you to a pulp.
He still looked hard when he came down to Luton this season as manager.
Yeah, listen, I know Mick now, and before he took that job, I see him on the scouting circuit a lot. He's a lovely man, but on the pitch he was brutal, and he was an old-fashioned English target man, and he was so strong. So physically, that was a real tough one. In terms of the best opponent I've ever played against, it would have to be, from my personal point of view, it would be Henry. You know, he came over into the English game, and he wasn't your old typical centre forward. You know, you get used to centre forwards just sitting in pockets, making the same runs, and you can get. He just drifted where he liked, and he had a change of pace, change of direction. He had a skill set that was second to none, and he scored ridiculous goals. He could drift past you, unbalancing you really quickly, you know, from left to right. It was just. I say to people, it's like marking smoke.
The thing is, Steve, our new presenter on the show tonight, Charlie, is an Arsenal fan, so he was sitting there grinning at that. But what I will say is, Thierry Henry couldn't defend from corners, really, because when you scored a hybrid, we won 4-2, do you remember that?
Yeah, and I've got an Arsenal mate, and he said it doesn't really count because Grimonde was picking me up.
Steve, we're really glad you come on tonight. Finally, before we lose you, Charlton are back in the Championship. Yeah. What are your expectations, or what are your hopes for this season ahead?
Well, I mean, firstly, I think huge congratulations go to Lee and Johnny and the squad itself for getting promotion. That was, you know, I think they're working under very tough circumstances. You know, Lee's basically walked in 18 months ago to do a little bit of central midfield coaching, ended up taking the job. And this is what I say about football in general. There is no right and wrong when you make an appointment. You can appoint someone with experience. You can appoint somebody with no experience. You never quite know how it's going to go, because the squad have to buy into the manager, and he has to get the players to buy into him. And Lee's obviously done that with Johnny. And that is a valuable commodity to have in your management setup. So when you've got that and the players buy into it, you know, you can achieve above what you should achieve. And I don't think they're getting huge amounts of help from the owner. I think that is very tough in terms of how they've got to put the squad together. And the Championship, we know, has got some enormous budgets in it. You know, some of those teams in that league have enormous budgets. And I think, you know, from my perspective, and I might be shooting a little bit too low, if they stay in the Championship, I think that's a job well done. I don't think that's what Lee will sell his squad, But if you think about some of the clubs that are in there, the teams that have come down and the finances, you look at Fulham, the finances that Scott Parker will have available to him will be enormous. You've got Derby will spend again. So many clubs, big, big budgets. I'd just like Lee to keep the side in the Championship, because there's nothing worse than seeing Charlton yo-yo from Championship to League One. League One's not where Charlton should be. It should be in the Championship, building and at times challenging for promotion to the Premiership and then trying to hold its own in the Premiership. But it certainly shouldn't be going as low as League One.
Well, Steve, thank you for giving us a bit of your time tonight this evening. Steve Brown there, delighted to have him on. And he was your club legend of the week.
See what your club legend was wearing at classicfootballshirts.co.uk. The place for football shirts. This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Charlton Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, Martin, Ollie, Paul and Rob. And I'm delighted to say we have another caller. The callers are not stopping tonight. And I'm excited about this one because we have Ahmed on the line from Dartford. Ahmed, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Before I start off, I wanted to congratulate you guys for putting on two legendary players like we have that we just listened to. Absolutely fantastic.
Thank you, Ahmed. That's very kind of you.
Thank you, Ahmed.
Now, moving on to other things. I'm just wondering, guys, do you reckon we're going to get a decent squad by before Blackburn, or especially if we're trying to get five loans in?
I think it's. I mean, yeah, I don't know now.
Maybe not Blackburn.
Maybe not Blackburn, but definitely by the deadline. I haven't heard anything else myself about potentials. There was the Chelsea lad.
Yeah, Gallagher. I heard him. Is it true that we got gazumped by Sunderland on Mark McNulty, by any chance? I'm hearing that as well.
Apparently we got pipped to him by
they hijacked it, didn't from what I hear. That's what happened.
Yeah, and it's a shame to lose out to a player, to a team in the league below, but...
Well, especially strikers, because they're hard to come by, decent ones anyway. So, again, does that put a spanner in the works a little bit? Now, we'll have to look at other options, presumably.
Yeah, I think he, I didn't get to go to the Gillingham game.
Why not?
Because I didn't fancy you seeing you take your last breath in the Brian Moore stand.
The reason he didn't go is he didn't want a thunderstorm to happen again.
Yes. But I don't know about, I think we still need another forward, personally.
I agree. I mean, apparently we are going to get five loans. Whether a striker is one of those, it's not clear exactly what positions and personnel are likely to be. I mean, obviously, we'd all like Cullen and Billet to come back, but I don't know. It doesn't sound too easy this time round.
Yeah, what was your thinking of the new signing this week, though, Ahmed?
I thought that was quite an astute signing, actually.
Yes. Yeah, and
the fact that he's another club captain, he's obviously got leadership skills, and apparently we'd already tried to get him beforehand, previously,
yeah,
and not
true.
Been able to.
Yeah,
so obviously he was on our radar for quite a while.
I got my first look of him on Tuesday night. He came on against Colchester, and he had a hand in setting up the equalising goal, and I was very impressed with him, actually.
Good.
Yeah, he looks good.
Who was he playing alongside with, just out of interest?
By then, I think it was Pierce at the
back.
Pierce,
okay.
Because I think Lockyer had gone off.
But
he looked very dependable, looked very calm. And, his whole demeanour.
Well, they must have faith in the fact that they obviously believe he can step up from League One to the Championship. And we're going to find out with a lot of our players, presumably, the answer to that question.
Yeah, and he's like the new Aribo, because he has his socks down a little bit. I think that looks quite cool. I always look at little things like that, as you know.
So given that the last time we were in the Championship under Chris Power in our first season back, do you think it'll be a case of we're going to have to try and find our feet? If you remember that famous Cardiff game when Jacko scored two goal-headed goals and we went on to win 5-4? Perhaps we're going to need some other sort of revelation like that to get us going, or is it going to be tough from the word go?
I think we've got to prepare ourselves possibly for a slow start. Let's not forget that first season back in the Championship with Chris Powell. Everyone says it was a great success. We finished ninth, but in all truth, we were actually just hovering over the relegation places to about March, and we just had a very strong finish.
Well, it wasn't until that Cardiff game where we actually wondered whether we were up for it, or whether we were, as you say, we were sort of flatlining down in the bottom third.
Indeed.
Indeed. Well, we really appreciate the call. Ahmed from Dartford there, who has been dubbed the fifth Beatle. He's very important to the SE7 podcast, isn't he?
You are, Ahmed. You're the fifth Beatle on the SE7 pod.
I'm a bit gutted. I was looking for that spot. I'll go for the sixth Beatle. There we go. But he did mention, and we do want to talk about it now. I know, Mark, you wanted to talk about the trip to see the under-23s, but you have signed AFC Wimbledon's captain. And really, that is a strong move, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's a good player. I mean, Lyle Taylor was well excited about it. He was the one that virtually announced it on social media. But, you know, as Lee Bowyer said, he's a captain. We've got captains all through the team. Tom Lockyer, you know, Jason Pearce. We're going to be strong at the back.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to get a player like that in as well. At the back, and completely commanding. If we're doing a back three of centre-backs, have those three leaders there. We're going to be quite difficult to break down.
Yeah, I think my friend Fargan, Wimbledon supporting mate,
friend of the show,
he's been on and done the Wimbledon opposition view before, talked him up quite highly, I'm really excited about this one. Again, another area that I felt we just needed one more decent body in, based on the fact we only had Pearce, Saar and Lockyer. You obviously want cover. Prattley can play there, and Dick still, but I think this would be a really good signing.
Do you want the words of Fargan? I've got them here.
Oh, yeah.
On our new player. He's quick, strong, and he has a good leap, which is important, as he's a bit on the short side for a centre-half. He possesses enough pace to get himself and teammates out of tough spots. He's versatile and a good footballer in the general sense. And that's coming from a Wimbledon supporter who follows Wimbledon home and away.
Poetry.
So very happy with those credentials that he's putting forward.
Not only have you made signings, we said seven acquisitions this summer. It was important to keep some of your own, and that's been just as important because you've re-signed Williams, Pearce got a new contract. How important were they?
Well, I mean, looking at the playoff final, Johnny Williams really stood out as a brilliant player. He came on, he completely changed the game. I don't think we would have got that goal without his influence in the middle of the park. And that's going to be important to have someone like that who can play the big games, can go to a tough ground like Elland Road or go to, you know, other big stadiums and keep his head, keep cool where other players maybe wouldn't be able to do that. So,
as you say, keep his head. Jason Pearce did that, didn't he?
Yeah,
he came on at half-time because Naby Sarr's head had gone. He came on and literally just solidified everything. You know, Jason Pearce is massively important.
He is, yeah. And I'd love watching his battles against certain centre-halves and stuff like that.
Yeah, but you're quite right, Charlie. I mean, obviously, the last couple of weeks, I think Lee Bowyer has been trying to sort out the contracts of Lyle Taylor and Anthony Dicksteel. So some of our current players, it's so important that we keep them. I think there was whispers this week that Middlesbrough might be putting in an offer.
Well, just came up on Sky Sports that rejected a bid.
So. Yeah. So, but we're doing the right thing now. We're not letting these contracts wind down. And obviously, if Dicksteel was to go, then at least... Well, hang on a minute. I'm thinking about our owner here. But yeah, get some money in our pocket and reinvest.
Just very quickly, there is 2 weeks till that window closes. We're speaking about players in. It's really vital you don't lose anyone until the window closes, is it?
Huge.
Yeah, really vital. And there's a lot of young players that I'm sure some bigger clubs might be looking at. So to get some contracts secured quickly would be really important.
Yeah, and I'm hoping as well the kind of momentum behind what Bowie had built last season has got that unity in the team and they're the ones that could potentially go, want to stay and want to, you know, build on what we did last season.
Paul, I'm a little bit disappointed because we almost went a whole show without mentioning our owner. And then
I spoiled it, didn't I?
Squeeze it in at the end there.
I know, bless him. But he's still here. And, I mean, to be fair, Lee was giving him a bit of praise in one of the interviews back a couple of weeks ago that he's supported him on one or two signings like Lockyer and Bon. There is one thing about De Châtelet that I do agree with. I mean, the money in that's floating around in football is ridiculous now, and I can sympathise that you know, you've got to pull in your purse strings.
Well, that was your Charlton Fan Show. We'll be back next week to give you a bigger Championship preview. Up the Addicks.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.